Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, James Williams.
Oh, hey, Joe Elvin.
What are you doing on September 16th?
Well, the London Podcast Festival is on, Joe, and they've only got an invited Hey It's OK along. Don't make us sit in a pod cupboard all alone, dear listeners. Come and see me and Joe and a fabulous celebrity guest putting the world to right.
Get your tickets at kingsplace.co.uk. They're selling out fast. See you there. Hello, Glamour Gang, and thank you so much for joining me, Joe Elvin, Editor-in-Chief of Glamour, in the Glamour Pod Cupboard yet again. And this week, my very esteemed special guests are our Entertainment Director, Helen Whitaker.
That's a really nice introduction for me, because I thought you were going to talk about our guest as being the very esteemed person.
Well, imagine...
It's actually me! Hello!
Imagine what an introduction. This one. I mean, the thing is, this podcast, we try to make it about half an hour, and that's going to just... sort of like going through her accolades is going to be...
I think the title's going to be 15 minutes.
That's going to take 25 minutes. Entrepreneur, broadcaster, parliamentarian, peer, OBE, it's only Baroness Michelle Moan.
Good morning, Jewel. Good morning,
Good
guys.
Morning. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
With
it's
your creaky
back. It's a gorgeous
back.
Pod cupboard. I was expecting something... really sleazy, but this is gorgeous.
Well, it's all the more gorgeous for having you in it, Michelle.
Oh, I don't think so, but thanks anyway.
Thanks for joining us today. How's it going?
Yeah, everything's good. I've just launched a brand new business, michellemoaninteriors.com.
Of course you have.
Yep.
And, do you just like launch businesses every week? That's my impression of you.
I've got quite a few now. When I sold Ultimo, the final bit of Ultimo, it's 18 months ago, I thought I'm just going to retire on a beach and just lie there.
So good. I don't have to feel guilty about wearing my M&S knickers today.
Should be Ultimo.
Yeah, sorry, they're not today.
I've sold Ultimo, so that's okay now.
Yeah.
I've got M&S on too.
Oh, they're just the bog standard, aren't they?
Yeah. So after I sold Ultimo, started... Michelle Moan Interiors, jewellery at QVC is now number one in the whole of QVC.
Amazing.
I'm launching soon Connect to Michelle, which will mentor all the aspiring entrepreneurs out there. So watch out for that, Connect to Michelle. And lots of other things in Dubai and projects going on in St. Bart's. It's just crazy, crazy, crazy.
You know when people talk about imposter syndrome when they feel inferior, but they're not? I think this is, what's the reverse of that?
When
you're like, hey, oh, I actually am.
Oh, not at all. I've been working now for 30 years, so I left school at 15, no qualifications. And now, I'm a Baroness in the House of Lords and was brought up in a working class area. So I think that all the kids out there, you can do it too.
What do you think you need? What's the chip that people need to be entrepreneurial? Because I don't have it.
I'm sure you do, running a very successful, probably the number one magazine in the country.
It's not my business. Do you know what I mean? I run the title for a family. You know, and I don't know. I think I'm slightly too risk averse to put my neck on the line with a business. I don't know. What do you think that it's... How do you approach the risk of business?
Well, I take risks every single day, but now I take calculated risks, so I wouldn't risk my fortune now. But when I was starting Ultimo, I had nothing to lose. I put my house up, I put everything up, three young kids. Because I really didn't have anything for others.
How much do you reckon we could get for the job lot?
Because I knew that my mum and dad had one spare room, so we could all fit in there. But I think you've got to have the ingredients of determination, a can-do attitude. You've got to have that idea, and you should never, ever, ever give up, and risk-taking as well. And that's the main ingredients for being an entrepreneur.
One thing I did find reassuring that I heard Duncan Bannatyne say once, you know, he's like an entrepreneur, he was on Dragon's Den for years, is that actually I always thought that to be an entrepreneur and to be successful at your own business, it had to be some amazingly original idea. But actually, you just kind of have to move on an idea, don't you? Which is slightly different, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the bra was invented, but I invented the world's first gel fill bra, then the world's backless, frontless bra, lightest bra in the world. So it can be an idea that's already there, but you can make it a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's when you can get design registration, a patent, and just absolutely go for it. And I think people fear Brexit, that is it a good time to start a business? Any time is a good time to start a business. We can all sit here and make many, many excuses of why it's not the right time. But that's why you'll never be successful. You've got to just go for it and just take the jump. Once you jump and you're in, that's it. You'll never jump back.
I think it's homing in on what is the idea, though, going back to what you said about coming up with it, and you know, you focused on the gel thing. I think loads of people sit in the pub with their friends and kind of idly talk about things, but for example, my husband claims he invented Tinder in his head years before Tinder existed. He was like, I always thought it'd be great if there was a way to meet people,
but obviously he did nothing about it.
It's that kind of thing where people chat about stuff and how things would improve their lives, but they don't have that spark that thinks I could make this into a business.
But also, it's just really hard, right? It's really hard to get up every day and work for yourself, and you know, it's like when the buck stops with you, when there are people relying on you making money so that they get a salary, it's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely, it is really hard. But I mean, I love my work so much that I don't think it's work. I wake up in the morning, even this morning when I put my back out, I would never cancel you.
And can I just say as well, in the pod cupboard, we do make people stand. And Michelle has not only done her back out, she's got her heels on and she's standing for us.
Well,
so
I thought
really,
I had to
we're not worthy.
Into this glamorous office. I couldn't walk in with my flats on. But, you know, I'll go on and I'll do my board meeting and I never, ever cancel anything because of illness. Something may come up and I have to fly somewhere at the last minute. And things happen, but I'll never cancel anything. I've never had a day sick in my life.
Not to be stereotypical, but I think that's the Scottish in you, isn't it?
Oh,
I just went, the Scots I know are all so sort of like hardy, sturdy, take no nonsense. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. It's just because I love doing what I do and I never want to give it up. And, you know, I'm now helping my partner as well. He started the Barrowman Foundation, which is to help kids that don't have any hope. And because he was from a working class area in Glasgow, 3 miles apart, and he's now grown into, 55 businesses, and I'm the same. It's like you never really in the business world, I suppose, some of the pop stars, Justin Timberlake meeting another pop star and them getting together. It never really happens in the business world. But the two of us, I've got together, fallen in love, and I'm helping him with his Barrowman Foundation.
So you're like Rihanna.
I'm Rihanna.
And
yes.
Your partner is, I don't know, Drake maybe. I don't know. Who's Rihanna going up with now? I can't keep track.
Some billionaire guy.
Yeah, some billionaire guy. That sounds about right.
That's right. But it never, ever, ever happens in the business world. You know, a female entrepreneur never gets together with a male entrepreneur. Well, they probably do, but well-known.
You're blazing a trail again.
I know. There you go.
Now tell me, I'm just fascinated with this. I think probably because I'm from Australia and it's a whole world that I just know nothing of. What's it like? Is there much difference between pre and post Baroness life?
Yes.
I mean, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Quite an honour. And, you know, it's fascinating. We've never had a titled person in the pod cupboard before, so feeling a bit embarrassed on behalf of the pod cupboard. Sorry,
but not at all. Well, I think I'm the youngest Baroness, and the only thing I would say that's different is that my wardrobe has changed. So, you know, my first day at the House of Lords after my induction, I sort of wore a dress above the knee, showing a bit of cleavage and sleeveless. And I was quickly told, no, no, no.
Really?
That's not how you dress.
No boob tubes in the House of Lords, everyone.
So I was thinking that, you know, maybe we could shake this up, you know. Let's shake up the House of Lords. Yes. Bring a bit of, you know, we're bringing sexy back.
I'm introducing. I try my best every day. But I would say that I learn every day about energy, policing, lots of different things. And I would say that I did have that fear factor. I said to former Prime Minister David Cameron, I can't do this. He said, did you just say you can't? You told me you never say you can't. I says, I know. He said, you'll be absolutely fine. And I'm there for life. So I was really out of my comfort zone. And I think as human beings, we all need to push out of our comfort zone because that's the only way you grow and the only way you learn. And now I'm very comfortable. I'm 18 months I've got under my belt, and I'm starting to contribute a lot as well, and I do love it. But I'm in there to fight for, you know, women's rights, entrepreneurship, startup businesses, just all the women's issues, children issues, inspiring kids. So that's my main goals in the House of Lords.
I'm just enjoying the irony of David Cameron telling you not to give up after but hey, I think from there we'll just move on.
Yes.
Is it okay, Michelle and Helen, to have a work uniform? Which is very interesting considering what you were just saying, because certainly the House of Lords seems like they would very much like you to have,
yes,
a work uniform.
Well, I think it depends on what you're doing. You know, if you're working in a solicitor's office, you can't really turn up with training shoes on and, you know, short skirts and everything else. So I think it really depends on the job that you're doing. For me, I tend to have, for the House of Lords now, a very set way on how I dress, as we just discussed. But in business, I was always encouraging women to be themselves and to feel sexy. So for a board meeting, I would get a blow dry like I have this morning.
God, I really wonder what you're going to say.
Heels on. I wasn't too frightened to show my cleavage because I was in that business as well. But I really do believe that it depends on the job that you're at. I was in an office in Dubai a few weeks ago, and there was a girl in the office, and it was so inappropriate. You know, she had shown her cleavage, the dress was up, you could see the tip of her bottom.
In Dubai,
which is, you cannot do that in a country like that. You've got to show respect. But even in a country, even if it wasn't Dubai, in London, yeah, it would not be respectful.
I suppose where I'm coming from this though as well is, I actually did a feature for the Daily Mail last year. Mark Zuckerberg, when he had, I think he had a few weeks paternity leave, and he put a joke picture on Instagram of a row of grey sweatshirts and a row of black jeans, and said, oh, just working out what to wear for my first day back at work tomorrow. And I jokingly said, oh, I could learn a lot from this. And the Daily Mail asked me, would you wear the same thing every day to the fashion shows and see what that's like? And it is interesting. I have to admit, I love getting dressed and I really love working out what to wear in the mornings. But it did give me an awful lot of time back, just, yeah, like knowing exactly what I was wearing, eliminating that decision, eliminating the screaming and shouting when the thing you wanted to wear actually, mm-hmm, isn't washed or needs an iron or you can't find it, or, you know. And so I don't know, I think I'd kind of go insane if I wore the same thing every day.
Yeah,
but there does seem to be a very strong argument for it from some of our most successful world leaders who have employed a uniform.
I always just wonder as well, if, I mean, obviously if you work somewhere where you kind of have to wear a suit and a tie or a skirt suit or whatever the uniform policy is, but I just wonder, people who choose to work uniform, how do you know who you are that well? Because I don't know who I am in clothes, so I kind of flip from one thing to another.
Oh, I know who you are. Little Miss 90s vibe rock chick. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I do. But yeah, I guess. But then I would have to wear the same pair of leather trousers every day, like Slash.
Yeah. But that, you know, it's really strange, because if I don't feel sexy, confident, you know, I feel good with what I'm wearing to a business meeting or to go and get some deals, I will not perform.
Mm. So I think I'm the same.
What you wear gives you that confidence. And it also, I mean, I've sold the bra company now, but it's also right down to underneath your clothing as well. You know, if you feel your boobs are sagging or they're popping out, you know, I feel as well, I start from feeling really comfortable and look at this, it's bang on the right size and the right shape for this top. So if I go out with the wrong pair of, you know, pants on and bra on, then I really don't feel my best.
Some of us don't have to worry about our boobs popping out. No, it's never, I did say, ever going to happen.
I said this morning, though, as soon as I knew I was doing a podcast with you, my first thought was, better wear a good bra.
Oh, well, you know, I go up from a double D to an E, so I try and keep them in all the time.
Just stop talking about it, all right? It's like, it's really...
Listen, you haven't seen the size of my behind as well. That's that is a real Kim Kardashian.
No, there's none of that talk on the Glamour podcast. None of that abusive self-talk. People say to me, oh, but you work in fashion. You know, of course you have to wear something different every day. But some of the most respected women in fashion do have a uniform. Grace Coddington, I've never seen her in anything but black trousers and a white shirt front row. There does seem to be... There is something powerful about taking away that, I don't know, but I'm just too fickle and get too bored with the look of myself to be able to do
and
a
who's
uniform.
Who's the lady in fashion? Oh my goodness, that is so bad. She wears the sunglasses all the time.
Anna Wintour. Yeah. Well, she's kind of got a uniform. Yeah. She likes a form-fitting midi dress and a pair of Manolos, but she's got... probably the world's biggest selection of beautiful floral form-fitting midi dresses.
Has anyone seen her with her glasses off?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yeah. She came in for a meeting at the office once many years ago.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, I think I've reached that age now where I need prescription sunglasses. So I think that I've realised that I sit on the tube in my sunglasses because I can't be bothered to change to my reading glasses and think, oh, well. Uh-huh. So I kind of think that's where Anna Wintour's coming from.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Speaking of all things sort of like dark and mysterious, Michelle Moan, this is one of the topics you picked. Is it okay to be a dark horse? Now, I don't think I am a dark horse, so I'm ceding the floor to you on this one. What do we even mean?
I think there's a time and a place for being a dark horse. Sometimes I'm a dark horse where I'll just sit back and I'll observe and I'll let everyone speak and I'll just, you know, get all my ducks in a row. And then I'll strike when they don't know I'm going to strike.
See, I think that's how you succeed in business because I'm not a dark horse.
That's the thing. I never shut up, as you can tell.
I'm like an overexcited puppy.
I'm the same most days. But if there's a business deal, then I behave in a completely different way. I never ever show my hand, and they don't know which way I'm going to go.
Yeah, but see, now that all those business people who avidly download the podcast, now they're going to know your business strategy.
Oh, but they won't know. You've ruined it. They won't know my behaviour. I change all the time.
I thought a dark horse is someone you've underestimated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean.
But I mean, I would never, I mean, maybe when you first started out, people might underestimate you. But now, if you walked into a room, I'd be thinking, I need to bring my A game, Michelle. Baroness.
It's Baroness Lady OBE.
Oh, no. I'll get my
extraordinaire.
Coat. Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's going to happen to me. Yeah, I would assume that I would need to bring my A game to impress you, to, you know, negotiate with you. So I would, I mean, I guess if you say you change your behaviour all the time, then you still can be a dark horse. But I would assume now you are like the, trying to think of a horse analogy.
Isn't it a negotiation thing? Is it like a negotiation strategy? Where I went to this seminar once years ago with this guy. His name was Herb Cohen. He had some one of those, you know, amazing self-help books. And he was like, the art of negotiation is to care, but not care that much. And to me, that's like a dark horse strategy, to sort of like be a bit like, oh, well, you know, yeah, I could make this deal or I could not make this deal.
Yeah.
And then if you're sort of like acting desperate, that's not very dark horseway. So that's kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm not making sense, but that's kind of my interpretation of it.
And I suppose it's yeah. when you go from, you know, being in the brand industry for 20 years and then going into the construction industry where it's predominantly lots of men.
Mm.
And they just think, oh, she only knows about bras. So you just sit back and you just listen and learn and then you show them that you actually do know what you're talking about when it comes to renders and architects and design yeah. and
do you still,
construction and technical.
I was going to say, do you still come
else.
Up, do they think you're going to be like Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde? Because you know about bras and women's things, but actually you're a lot smarter than they're giving you credit for.
I do get that all the time.
I can't actually, I'm actually staggered by that with somebody with your track record. Is, I mean, imagine what it's like for somebody trying to start a business, going to get a bank loan, if you're still coming up against that kind of everyday sexism.
I think it's when you go into other industries and you go into other countries, like the Middle East or the Far East, and you know, you're not in the bra industry, you get into all these different industries. I think that's where you face it. But for me, I don't get stressed anymore. My partner, Doug Barriman, taught me to only think about things that really stress you out for 15 minutes and then put them in a box and think about them another day.
Now, this is so interesting. How do we do that?
Yes, I've always wanted to do that. Yeah.
Well, maybe you should have him on your
Would
podcast.
Love it, yeah.
But he has taught me a lot. And I don't look up to anyone really apart from my mum and dad, but I seriously look up to him because he's taught me so much. And I thought I knew it all. But see, I learn every day through him.
I think that, you know, we don't like to gender stereotype, but I do feel that compartmentalizing is a skill that men are better at.
Mm-hmm.
I think men are better at going, right, I'm just not going to think about that for the rest of the day or the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Whereas I don't think women can do that as
women
well.
Women are more emotional.
Yeah.
I would say. And I do. I go on it and say, how can you not think about that anymore?
Yeah.
This is because I've parked it, Michelle. It's now had 15 and a half minutes. Now stop. Wow. I go, okay, all right.
I mean, that's ninja skills, isn't it? That's,
you know, I'm now, after Ultimo, I'm now touring around the world. I've been touring with a guy called Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah.
So
Unleash the Giant Within.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I love doing these speaking events. Sometimes there's 4,000 or 5,000 people in the room and I mentor people as well. And I love that because I love hearing about all the different careers and everything that upsets them. But to be honest with you, it's the same. I think stress is relative. You know, what you might be stressed out about, I might think, oh, that's, you know, nothing. And what I'm stressed out about, you might think, oh, my God, I would jump over a bridge. But I think it's just nice hearing everyone and helping everyone. And that's what I love doing now is trying to teach people that you can make it. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what education you managed to get. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're from money or not from money. If you want to do something, we only live once, we can do it if you put your mind to it. So I think that's one of the things that I enjoy most now is giving people that hope and determination.
Is it okay, Helen and Michelle, to have no plan B?
Absolutely not.
Wow. I was not expecting that from you.
Yeah, you need plan B. And I have a plan C, a plan D, and all the way up as well. Because I think if you think the worst in everything and in business, you can protect it. So I have a risk strategy for each project, and I write down all the risks, everything that could happen. Will he steal my money? Will she run off? Will she do this? Will he do that? And I make sure I cover absolutely everything. So that's first and foremost. And then I have a plan B and a plan C. Because in life, you can't protect everything. You're not in control of everything. You're reliant on so many different people and so many suppliers that you have to protect that business. So that's why it's a must to have all these different plans.
What do you say to some people? And I suppose I'm thinking we interview a lot of actors and singers and performers and people in entertainment. I think that there's a lot of those people feel like if they'd had a plan B, they wouldn't have been motivated to make plan A work.
Yeah, well, I am exceptionally motivated, but I'm also a realist as well.
Yeah.
And the amount of time that you get let down by people, it happens day in, day out, and it used to stress me out every single day. Why is he doing this? Why is she doing that? Now it's just, oh, well, that's the way they are. Right, move on, move them aside. I'm going this way now. So that road, you know, I might be going there, but I have to go in so many different directions to get there.
It's funny, actually. It's one of the hardest lessons I've had to learn, and one of the things that's been the most de-stressing thing to get my head around is that the only thing that stays the same is that things change. Mm. And I think that I used to really, if somebody I really valued at work used to resign or something, and I'm like, what am I going to do? And I still might have that 30 seconds, but you have to expect that everybody's going to do their own thing. You can't control what everybody else is going to do with their life. And it was like learning to think that way.
Yeah.
And to just roll with it has helped me an enormous amount.
And change is good. Change is courage. You know, I used to, when I started Ultimo, my goodness, 21 years ago, I started off in my bedroom with a cot, and now it's part of 63,000 people. But as I was growing the company and then opening up in China, factories, Hong Kong, all over the world launching, I started to micromanage people. And that is so bad for business, micromanaging and trying to let go. So that's another thing as well. And I used to drive people mad.
And probably yourself is exhausting.
Yeah, it was exhausting. But I think you need to have an element of trust there. And although, you know, I've had so many people who have ripped me off, unfortunately, when a distributor in Canada ran off with £1.4 million of my money and all the stock of Ultimo from Saks Fifth Avenue and Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus, the business was about to fold. But I just dug my heels in and I kept going. And people say to me, what do you regret in life? And do you regret that happened? And I said, no, it was the biggest lesson ever. Mm. It was the best £1.4 million I've ever lost, because I am who I am today and what I've learned. And now that will never, ever happen again.
But I think people forget with those situations as well, is that, yes, it's a business deal and it's a huge problem financially, but it is an emotional blow, that sort of betrayal, isn't it? Mm. It's horrendous.
Do you think, especially sort of these days, people don't necessarily think in terms of plan A and plan B, because people have like multi-portfolio careers?
So actually, like yourself.
They might actually think, I want to do plan B and plan A. So it's not one or the other. So it kind of follows that you would have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D.
Yeah.
As opposed to, that's something I'll do if the thing I really want to do doesn't work out.
Well, the way I have it, is I run my life, and I even run my kids' life, on a CTP. I know that sounds really harsh, but a CTP is a critical time path. So I've developed my own CTP. So I input all my tasks. And, and I developed that through Ultimo, because in a bra, you can get 28, 30 components. And all these 28, 30 suppliers have to come in at the same time to start the production line, or you don't have a bra. So I'm used to multitasking many, many things. So if plan A doesn't work and something gets put out in plan A, maybe two tasks, then plan B will start to creep in, mm-hmm. and then it'll take over. So I run my life and even my kids' life. You know, I used to say, right, your pine hangers, you've got a walnut wardrobe. Why have you got a pine hanger in your hanger in your wardrobe? And I used to mark them and give them KPIs, key performance indicators.
Wow.
And everything else. But I mean, you know, now I think they're rebelling because I walk into some of their bedrooms now and it's like you can't even see the carpet. It's so bad, so it didn't pay off.
It takes you like six weeks to get to looking at the hangers.
That's it. Yeah, I don't even bother now. I just close the door and I just like go to St. Bart's or somewhere and enjoy myself.
I can't believe that you're harsh about your kids' hangers and yet you haven't raised one judgmental eyebrow about the absolute tip.
The only thing that bugs me about this room is that, but I realise why you've got that because that's where you do your
If that's the only thing,
but
Michelle.
You know those hangers? They're all like not properly,
not the same ones,
not grouped together. Yeah, so I would get rid
sorry,
of the hangers.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna improve my KPI and get the hangers sorted out.
You've got far too many boxes here, but I
you're right. You're so right, Michelle.
Yeah, I would tidy it up a little bit, but it's a lovely room. I mean, it's really nice, but it could do with getting organised a little bit.
Man. Joe, we're both wearing flats.
I know,
as well.
We're both wearing flats. We're in a messy office.
Joe, I could come and look at your wardrobes and your knicker drawer and everything if you want.
Yeah.
And organise it.
That sounds like a hoot. That sounds like, you know, I mean, that sounds like the worst report card ever coming my way. But hey, let's do it.
All your bras together, all your day bras, your balcony, your.
I think you'd be very impressed with my bra drawer. I really cherish my bras. I did a whole thing on this morning about how to look after your bras. I know.
Okay.
Although I'm not wearing one today. Not with this dress.
I can't do that. You see, I would knock people out. Honestly, in my, you know what, I don't want to say that because I am a baroness and I'll get into trouble, but I could not ever not wear a bra.
Well, this is a dress. I bought this dress and my friend said to me, see, you can wear things like that because you're so flat-chested, which is the biggest backhanded compliment I've ever heard.
But you could wear a strapless bra with that.
Oh, I can't be bothered.
You can't be bothered.
No, just letting it off, letting it hang out.
I'm sure your husband loves it.
No, well, that's to be decided. Thank you very much to my guests today, Helen Whittaker and Baroness Michelle Moan. And I just want to end by saying it is definitely okay, pod gang, as it says in September Glamour this month, to avoid interaction with strangers at all costs, but introduce yourself to every dog you walk past. That's a policy we can all get behind.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.